chapter 11. And we're going to be talking tonight about what faith is. What is faith? You may think you know what it is, and you probably do have a pretty good concept of it, but there may be some aspects of it you haven't thought about. And so we're going to talk about faith tonight, knowing what faith is. Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to begin reading in verse 1. You have your Bible? Can I see your Bible? Anybody got a Bible? Okay. All right. Hebrews chapter 11. And we'll begin reading in verse 1. Now, faith is the substance, the assurance, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And we'll stop right there. Faith is a popular subject today. Self-improvement experts, motivational courses tell us you've got to believe. You've got to have faith. Athletes, we're in the midst now of the baseball playoffs. I don't know if you're following that or not, leading up to the World Series. But, you know, sometimes the fans will say, you've got to believe. Clemson really hurt themselves the other Friday night by losing a ball game. And somebody says, well, can they still be national champions? Yeah, the possibility is there. And so the fans might say, well, you've got to believe. Politicians want us to have faith in our government. Yeah, right. But we should have faith in our government if we had some good leaders. In fact, I don't think we have any of those right now. But anyway, politicians want us to have faith in our government. And people talk glibly about faith in general. But then on the other hand, many people today have a problem understanding faith if you apply it to spiritual things. Some believe that it is a religious virtue or a superstition that has no basis in fact for modern man with his so-called enlightened understanding. They think it's much like believing in fairy tales that really never do come true. So there is an inconsistency and fault today about this aspect called faith. But I believe the problem is that most people really don't understand faith. They really don't understand what it's all about, especially as it's applied to us as believers and to us as Christians. The greatest explanation of faith that I have ever read is right here that you read tonight, or at least saw as I read it, Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 is the greatest explanation, I believe, anywhere of what faith is all about. It's the best description of how it works in the lives of believers, because you see, the Christian life is begun by faith. That is, we're saved by faith. What did Paul tell the Ephesians? He said, for by grace are you saved. How? Through faith, he says. And so we're saved by faith, trusting Christ as our Lord and Savior. But then, not only are we saved by faith, folks, it doesn't end there. We live by faith as well. Galatians 2:20 says, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. So not only are we saved by faith, but we live by faith as well. And faith is absolutely vital for the child of God. It's absolutely necessary if you're going to succeed in the Christian life. Faith is necessary if you're going to please God. Chapter 11, verse 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Well, we've got a lot of problems in our lives today because we don't have the faith we should. For example, do you ever worry? Let me tell you what, worry is a lack of faith. And I'm preaching to myself right here before I preach to anybody else. You take faith and you turn it around and you have worry. You take worry and you turn it around and you have faith. And we all need a greater faith, whether believers or non-believers. And when the non-believer finds it, he'll be saved. When a believer finds it, he'll find great victory in his Christian life. But all believers are called to live by faith. Well, All of Hebrews 11, this whole section is on faith, and it points back to what the author has just said back in chapter 2. In fact, the first word now connects everything back to chapter 10, I said 2, I think, but to chapter 10, the writer said in chapter 10, verse 38, the just shall live by faith. And in chapter 11, he illustrates that point of how believers live by faith by going back to some of those Old Testament people and showing you how they live by faith. Now, there are about three things I want to show you about this tonight. Number one, look at verse 1, because in verse 1, you have the description of faith. What is this thing called faith? Every human being has the ability to have it. And really, if you think about it, we all practice it in some way every day. I believe probably everybody in this room has practiced faith in some way today. You don't live a day of your life apart from faith. We put our faith in people that we see. We put our faith in things that we see, and we put our faith in people that we don't see, and we put our faith in things that we don't see. I know going from my house into Greenville, I go up 385. Well, what's happening up there at 385 and I-85? They got the whole world torn up. Got all these bridges and everything, and so you start across those bridges. I don't think I very often think now as I start across that bridge, is this bridge going to hold my car up? Is it going to hold me up? What about the engineers who designed this thing? Did they do something wrong? Did they make some wrong calculations? What about the construction workers who installed this thing? Did they make a mistake somewhere? Is this bridge going to fall? I have seen on the news several years ago in Minnesota, the big bridge fell, you know? I don't even think about that. I just zip right on into Greenville from Fountain Inn right up 385. I go through all that mess, you know, and trying to dodge traffic and all this other. But I don't think about it. But I see I'm exercising faith in the architects, the engineers, the construction workers. You go to the drugstore. In fact, I got to do that. Y'all remind me, I got to go to the drugstore. But you go to the pharmacy, and you get your prescription. And so you take that home with you, and you might look at it to just kind of see, make sure everything's okay. But generally, you look and you take your pill, and you don't worry that there's something wrong with that prescription. You take that by faith. If you get in an airplane, you fly by faith. I tell you what, when I fly on an airplane, it is a big leap of faith for me to do that, because Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you always." Well, you know, I get on the airplane and I walk in the little door there, and the little stewardess is there, and she's smiling and greets me. And I look to the left into the cockpit of some of those airplanes, and I see the pilot, co-pilot, and all these twinkling lights and gauges and dials. And I don't have a clue what all that's about. And I turn to the right and I go back to my assigned seat and I sit down. And we take off and we're going to wherever we're going. Well, while I'm going, I have placed my life in the hands of those people up front. I'm flying by faith, because if something happens to them, you know, I can't do anything about it. I can't do anything with the airplane. So I'm living by faith. I want you to know we practice faith every day. It's amazing how people will exercise faith in everyday human matters, but they refuse to practice it in a spiritual way, in spiritual matters. But that's where faith is most effective. You see, God has made certain promises to us in His Word. First of all, about salvation. He has said, "You're a sinner, but if you're willing to turn from your sins and trust my Son Jesus, you ask Him into your life, I'll save you." You do all that by faith. So, you see, we have the promises of God about salvation, but we also have promises of God about life. All through the Bible, there are promises of God about what He'll do for us if we live for Him day by day. And that's what the writer is talking about in verse 1. He says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for." And we need faith to turn our hopes into realities. Well, what is this thing called faith? Verse 1 helps us understand what it is. Let me say that verse 1 is not so much a definition of faith. It is a description of faith. That's what you get when you read verse 1. Not a definition, but a description. It describes the effects of faith. And the writer says two things about faith. Notice down here. First of all, he says faith is substance. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, let me say right up front that faith is not a blind leap into the dark. And faith is not positive thinking. And faith is not wishful thinking, where you long that something might come to pass in an uncertain tomorrow. And faith is not blind optimism. We're not talking about that either. But what the writer is describing is something far more real and far more effective than any of that. He says down here that faith, now listen to this, is substance. And that word substance means to support or to stand under, like the foundation of a building, for example. Kind of like a foundation of a building. Substance is something beneath us to stand on. Sometimes people say, well, don't give me that faith and hope business and all that hocus pocus. I want something solid. Well, friend, you'll never find anything more substantive and solid than faith. And you never have a more certain footing to stand on than when you stand by faith trusting in the Lord God. I mean, you're not walking on eggshells here and jello when you stand on faith. Faith is the cement, somebody said. It's the cement we mix into hope to harden it. Faith is confidence in God. The firm conviction that He's at work and will come through on our behalf. In fact, faith is where God's just working behind the scenes in your behalf, working to help you along the way. It's confidence in God. We come to God, we believe He's there, we pray, we count on Him to keep His word, and we watch Him work. Now, sometimes that's hard to do, and I know that. It's easy to trust God in theory. We come to church, you know, we're guilty about coming to church, and we listen to Vicki teach a class, or to Thelma or somebody. You know, we hear Preacher Mike preach a sermon, and we, you know, we hear all this, and it's easy to trust God in theory, you know, when the circumstance is away from us, far away from us. But when the situation is upon us, doubt competes for first place in our lives. And I always think, you know, I know some people have a problem going to a hospital. I don't ever have a problem having to go to a hospital as long as you're the patient. Okay? If I'm a patient, you know, it's a serious deal, you know. So I can visit you guys and I can talk about, well, Jeannie, you got to have faith. But boy, if it's me laying in that hospital room, you know, I'm wondering, Lord, where are you? I mean, what's going on here? See what I'm saying? And so sometimes it's hard to do. I know it. But the Bible kind of faith that the writer's talking about will get you through those hard times because it has substance to it. Faith is to a Christian's life kind of like a foundation is to a house. It gives us confidence. It gives us assurance. It's a foundation for our lives. Now, somebody says, well, I will not believe in anything which I can't understand. You ever heard anybody say anything like that? I won't believe in anything that I can't understand. Well, they just told a lie. That is not so. You don't understand how a black cow can eat green grass and give white milk and churn yellow butter. Now, if you could explain that to me, you'll be all right, see. Most of us don't understand all of the processes of digestion, see. But I'm not going to wait till I understand all that before I eat. I'm going to eat, see. I don't have to understand that. I don't understand everything about electricity. I don't. I got a friend that's an electrician, but he even can't explain electricity. I don't understand everything about electricity, but I'm not going to go home tonight and sit in the dark, see. I mean, there are a lot of things that we don't understand, but we just go ahead and enjoy them. Things like that that are accepted by faith. Well, let me tell you what, just transfer that over to the spiritual realm. Most of man's natural response is to trust his physical senses, and I understand that. He'll easily put his trust in things he can see, hear, taste, smell, and feel. But in faith, God says, you know, I want you to believe. Somebody says, well, seeing is believing. You ever heard anybody say that? Seeing is believing. You know what God says? He says, no, believing is seeing. Believing is seeing. For a child of God living that way, faith becomes something like a sixth sense where unseen things suddenly are seen. Faith gives substance to unseen realities. Your sixth sense is looking to the Lord to guide you. So he says, number one, faith is substance. But then notice what else. He says, number two, faith is evidence. You could use the word proof. Faith is the proof of things not seen. I mean, how do we know that the things of God which are sometimes invisible are real? I mean, really? I mean, how do we know He'll keep His promises? Well, we know it by faith. Faith is the proof of all the things we cannot see. In other words, things don't come into being because I have faith. I have faith because things are already into being. You say, Preacher Mike, that's double talk. No, it's not. Faith is the proof that the things over here are already true, even though we cannot sometimes see them. You say, well, now, I'm a little fuzzy on that, so let me explain it like this. How many of you ever watch television? One person, two people. This is a vote, folks. Anybody ever watch television? Okay. How do you know there's a TV station? You watch television, how do you know there's a TV station? The way you know that is because you receive a TV program. And the program is the evidence of the station. The faith is the evidence of the hope. You say, I'm still a little bit fuzzy about that. All right, let me explain it like this. I heard about this little boy, and he was standing on the side of the road one day, and he had his kite, and he put his kite up there, and it was cloudy that day, and the kite went so high it went out of sight, and he's standing there. And a guy came up to him and said, son, what are you doing? He said, I'm flying a kite. The guy looked up. He didn't see a kite. He said, I don't see a kite anywhere. How do you know it's there, son? He said, I feel it tug. Now, see, that's what kind of like what faith is. I mean, you know, faith, you feel the tug of it, see? The faith is the evidence of the hope. It's the tug that you feel that tells you the hope is there. And when you use that faith, it enables you to see the invisible. Over there in 2 Kings 6, the enemy was coming down on the prophet Elijah. They were surrounding him. He was causing them all kinds of problems, and they were trying to get rid of him. And so the enemy came down. They surrounded him with all their armed forces. And Elijah and his servant was in the little house. And his servant looked out and he said, my Lord, look out at the enemy all around us. And he was afraid. And Elijah prayed and he said, Lord, open his eyes so he can see reality. The Bible says that he looked around the mountaintops and there was a great congregation of the Lord's host all around them to protect him. See? Well, that's what we're talking about down here. We're talking about faith. Sometimes we find ourselves in circumstances like that, like we feel hedged in, or we feel like we're surrounded by the enemy, or we have some problem. But if you have eyes of faith, you'll be able to see God's resources ready to help you. So here is faith. Let me tell you what faith is. Faith is kind of a sixth sense that a believer has. It enables him to get hold of things he can't see. It enables him to bring them into the world he can see and experience, and all of our senses do that. You take the eye. The eyes take hold of light waves right now in this room. There are light waves pulsating through space. And those light waves make real to a person the things he sees. Not only that, the ear picks up sound waves. Sound waves are going through this room right now that you can't see, you can't feel. You won't even know they're there unless maybe you turn on some kind of a radio or something like that. Or you know, like right now, somebody just coughed. See, we heard that. See? The ear picks up sound waves and translates them into hearing. And faith now reaches out into the spiritual dimension and gives form and substance to spiritual realities in such a way that we can grasp them and understand them and use them in our daily lives. Y'all are looking at me like a mule looking at a new gate. Is this making a connection? Are y'all seeing what I'm saying here? So that's the description of faith. But then number two, I want you to notice verse 2. Here's the documentation of faith. Look at verse 2. For by it, that is faith, for by faith the elders obtained a good report. In verse 2, the writer of Hebrews documents what he's been saying about faith, and he calls to mind the Old Testament saints who believed what God said and walked by it all their lives. And actually, when you look at Hebrews 11, the rest of Hebrews 11 is a succession of pictures showing what faith has done in the lives of those Old Testament saints. In fact, it's an expansion of verse 2. This is one reason why Hebrews 11 has been called Faith's Hall of Fame, or the or the faith chapter, and the writer's saying that the old saints of God lived their lives by faith and found it to be real and effective. You know, we could probably have a testimony meeting here. I don't know if you've ever been in one of those or not. We used to in our churches a long time ago. We'd have testimony meetings. People would stand up and they would talk about maybe what God had done in their lives recently. They'd talk about some things, and when they'd say these things, you'd say, "My, did that really happen?" Well, all that's part of faith. And the writer is saying that the old saints of God lived their lives that way, and as a result, he says, they obtained a good report. Anybody go to school in here? I don't think this crowd ever went to school. Did y'all ever go to school? How many of you went to school? Did you ever get a report card? Anybody get a report card? How many of you always, you're really proud of your report card? I wasn't always proud of mine. Some of y'all just lied. Yeah. You ever get straight A's? I don't know if I ever, I think I got straight A's sometime, one time maybe. I mean, you know, down here the writer says that these Old Testament saints lived their lives by faith and they obtained a good report. They got an A on their report card. You remember getting an A on your report card? Well, one day you and I are going to receive a heavenly report card. And right now God is looking at us and, you know, we're living our lives. What kind of grade are we going to pull when that report card is given to us? You know, we're going to be graded according to our faith. You won't be graded according to your fame. You're not going to be graded according to who your friends are. You're not going to be graded according to your feelings or fate or future, but you'll be graded according to your faith. And as God is looking at us tonight, I believe He's examining our faith, and I wonder what kind of report card is going to be given to us as we live our lives. But notice the writer gives us a description of faith, and he talks about the documentation of faith. And then the third thing, and we'll be finished, a demonstration of faith. Look at verse 3. He says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. In other words, the writer says that it's on the basis of faith that we have the understanding about origins of the universe. That's what the word worlds there. He's talking about, you know, the worlds, all of the worlds, the universe. Everything about us, see. By faith we understand that things we see now were made out of things which you cannot see. The writer is simply saying that it's through an act of faith that you can even understand about the origins of the universe. How did the world come about, you know? You know, how did human beings come about? You know, how did the stars and all that, the moon and everything, how did all that come into being? Well, today creation has been laughed out of the academic community in America. And we have been told it cannot be taught in our schools because it isn't scientific. Now let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Evolution is not scientific either. Now I don't care what the Discovery Channel tells you or the History Channel. I'm just telling you basic definitions here. Evolution is not scientific. You see, when you start talking about the origins of the universe, you're getting outside the realm of science. What you believe about the origins of the universe is not a scientific matter at all. You see, all science can do is deal with processes that are now going on. Science deals with observation and experiment. Science can explain processes that are now taking place, but it can't explain the origin of those processes. That's getting beyond the realm of science. And when a person starts talking about the origins, he's not talking as a scientist, he is talking as a philosopher. Let me, you know, here's a news flash. Everybody ready? We're going to break into this program to give you this news flash, all right? Here's the news flash. When everything was created, not a person alive today was there. Nobody was there to observe it. Nobody was there to document it, see? And when a person begins to talk about origins, if he's honest, he does not say, "This we have proved," and that's what they're telling you on television, "This we have proved." Can't say that. They must say, "This we think," because nobody was there back then. Science only can tell what's taking place now, see, not back then. Now, I mean, whatever you believe about the origins of the universe, you don't believe it on the basis of scientific observation. You know how you believe it? On the basis of faith. Now, You only have two alternatives for your belief on how the world came into existence and how man came into existence. There's evolution. And our kids are being taught that in school. My kids were taught that. I've got some preachers who, you know, they were real adamant. I don't want my kids taught evolution in school. I was the other way around. I want you to know. I want our kids to be taught that. And then we're going to teach them the creation point of view. And I want my kids to know the difference so that they can stand up and refute their view and tell their view. See, I guess I'm a little bit like George Patton in World War II. George Patton was so victorious over the German armies because he studied them intensely. He knew their weaknesses. He knew how they thought, and he gave them fits in World War II. That's what I want my children to be and my grandchildren to see. So I wanted them to know. But evolution, once upon a time, you were just a tadpole in green scum, maybe, and then one day you climbed out of the scum up on a beach somewhere like a frog, and then you eventually, now, I'm condensing this real simple, okay? You eventually climbed up on a tree, began to swing from a tail you developed as a monkey, and then one day your tail broke off, you hit the ground and became a man. Now that's real simple. Basically, that's what you accept if you believe evolution. Once I was a tadpole beginning to begin. Then I was a frog with my tail tucked in. Then I was a monkey in a banyan tree. Now I'm a professor with a PhD. If you believe that, and you can believe it. But I want you to understand, you believe that based on faith. See, that's an act of faith. And I really believe it takes more faith to believe evolution than to believe that God brought the world into existence. In other words, you must either put your belief in human speculation or you must put it in divine revelation. God was there when the universe was created and he tells us what happened. Well, the writer puts his belief in the statement that the universe was framed by the word of God. And that word is the word rhema, which means utterance or spoken word. Now, this is what that means. One time, a long time ago, there was nothing. Nothing. Complete vacuum. And God said, "Let there be light." Boom! There was light. And God started creating out of total nothing. And there was a world and everything in it. Every once in a while, somebody comes and they'll have read something in the newspaper or they will see something they've seen on television. That we have created life in a test tube. Man has now created what could be considered life in a test tube. Man didn't do any such thing. All man did was took God's recipe, maybe here, there, and yonder, and put together, maybe there was something. But when you can take a total vacuum where there's nothing, and then all of a sudden somebody says, light be, poof, there's something there. You know, you just speak the word and things start popping up out of it. Now that's creation. That's creation. This stuff that we read in the papers and all that stuff where they've created life, That's not creation. That's just taking God's recipes, putting things together, see? So I'm telling you now, God knows what he's doing, and the Bible says that everything we have now is framed by the word of God. God just spoke, and it was done, see? We believe that God created the world out of things not seen by faith. The believer has no question about that. He accepts that the same way an evolutionist accepts his explanation of origins. Either way you go, it's done by faith, and the writer of Hebrews uses this as an example of faith. Well, what are we talking about tonight? Well, we're talking about faith. This whole discussion tonight is about faith. How do we get this kind of faith? Well, the Bible says we ask for it. We learn God's word. Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And then when we hear it, we apply it to our lives. Somebody has said faith is like a muscle. As we exercise it, it grows and develops over time. I think I have a greater faith today than I used to have. I don't have as great a faith as I want to have. But I can look back at my life and I can see how God has done this for me and that for me and delivered me from this situation and got me through that situation as I trusted Him. And as I have seen that, my faith has grown. Many of you are like that too. Your faith is not all that it should be, but I bet it's stronger now than it used to be. Why? Because you exercise that faith. You're kind of like, well, I go to the gym. You know, I've told you that before. I do that for arthritis purposes just to keep from freezing up. But, you know, I have found that as I have been doing that, I have gotten stronger in some areas. And it's because I've worked those muscles, see. And you're the same way. Faith has to be worked. And you have to rely upon it. You have to put it into practice, see. And as you do, that faith becomes strong. That's what faith is. And all God's people said, amen. Let's go home. That's what they said, okay? All right, bow your heads and close your eyes and we'll be on our way. Thank you, Father, again for faith and for what you do give us. Lord, we do ask for a greater faith to live day by day. And Father, I pray that you'll help us depend upon you through every circumstance of life, totally and completely. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for your time.
Appreciate you. Appreciate you.